Oweri, Nigeria, Lecture 8, I Reveal the Master in Me. I Reveal the Master in Me. All of us have occasion of going through life and thinking that we are unsuccessful, or we are unimportant, or we are not worthy of attention by other people. And of course, we are not worthy of attention by other people so long as we feel that we are unimportant. But Endless yesterday gave us a demonstration on the new president, and he showed how the new president responded to life, how he walked around, how he accomplished things. It was a bit cocky, it was a bit self-reliant, it was a bit overkill, you might say, but it was necessary. It was a necessary overkill to show that here was a new broom coming in to do a great work for a great republic and a great world. It's a new broom, and this new broom didn't walk in with its head cocked down, shoulders crunched. It walked in with head up, shoulders back, confidence in himself. You and I can do the same thing. Whenever we are facing something where we have to put on a show and say, yes, I can do it. Now, the show is not that you can do it, but that they think you can do it. Now, they don't think you can do it if you have that down crest, hard fallen attitude about yourself. If you have an attitude about yourself that you think you cannot accomplish it, then the world doesn't think you can accomplish it. The world thinks Obama can accomplish it because he's a smart-ass character, you know. You know, I'm damn good, I'm wonderful, I'm fantastic. And at first you look at that and you say, ooh-wee, what a egotist. And then you keep watching. And then you start saying, that guy's got style. He's got imagination. He's got self-confidence. He's got what we wish we had. He's got what we wish we had, and he shows it. Now, every one of us can take a lesson from that guy on how to express ourselves in the world, to show the world who we are, that we are masters. Now, we're not superior to anybody else. We're not better than anybody else. We're not more intelligent than anybody else. Those things may or may not be true, but we are not. What we are is, if he can do it, we can do it. If he can act like that, we can act like that. When Endless strutted in the room here the other day, I thought to myself, hey, that's Mr. Obama. He's visiting us. And then when he strutted for us outside, I said, yeah, he's got the style down pretty good. Now, when Endless takes that style that he has learned to take for his own and make it his own, no matter where he goes, if he walks with that self-confidence, with that knowingness, with that self-assuredness, everybody's going to pour their money on him, say, use it for your projects, use it. I believe in you, I believe in you. You know, if he believes in himself. Now, how many of you would like to be Endless? Well, you are yourself. You don't have to be a copy of him. You don't have to be a copy of Obama. You can merely look at these two people and see where their success came from. Their success didn't come from the fact that they were brilliant. They are. Their success didn't come from the fact that they had good ideas, and they did, and do. Their success didn't come from the fact that they have rich mamas and daddies, you know. Their success came from one thing. We call it charisma, but from one thing. Self-confidence. They are so self-confident and so aware of themselves, so they believe in themselves. And you notice, Endless, I'm including you in that. You notice that?
Yeah.
I mean, you belong there.
Yes.
But all you guys, every one of you, belong there too. Every one of you. Now, she comes in here dressed as though she's going to the ball. She looks beautiful. The other night she came in dressed in black. And she looked like she was just Princess Diane, you know, floating in here. And another time she came in here, always looking like she was a show horse, you know. just beautiful, just gorgeous. And what went with it? Her poise. She has the poise of a woman, not the poise of a slave. She has the poise of a person who believes in herself, and others will believe in her just as quickly. I had to ask, who is that woman? Who is that woman? You know, I mean, is she another speaker on the program here? Is she some fine dignitary in our group? Which she is, and all of you are too. All of you are. And you come in here wearing your costumes that go with your culture, and when you do that, are you wearing your best costume, or are you wearing one that's a little worn out? You got to show off who you are. I know who I am. I'm so self-confident. I'm so sure of myself. I have nothing to prove to anybody. I'm not in the game of life to go around getting people to follow me. I'm in the game of life just to live who I believe I am. And I do that. I do. I push myself sometimes, as I did recently. I push myself and do a lot of things. And I am 25. You know that. You know that I'm 25. You know I'm 25. And now I got to tell my body that. And my body will know it too, right?
Yes.
Yes. It's just waiting to hear the message. Now, should I ever need to be tired? Should I ever need to be worn out or anything like that? No. Why is it that I am sometimes, or why is it that I ever am? Why is it that I ever am is not because I think I am, but my friends and associates tell me, you know, I'm working too hard, I'm putting in too many hours, I should get some sleep at night, I shouldn't go out and these trips around the world working with people on projects and stuff like that, then, you know, not just with your airplane, but with my airplane, and doing these things. But, hey, that's what my life's all about. My life is all about that, all about being myself and having fun. I have not taught myself the Obama walk. That might be something too. I mean, if I start using the Obama walk, they're going to run me for president of some country or other. You know, who knows what might happen? But it could happen to you too. The minute you know yourself and are confident in yourself, believe in yourself, every doorway opens up for you. The other day, Sam walked in here. He had his head down. He was sort of sad. And we talked to him. We said, well, Sam, you look great. You know, you're improving wonderfully. You're fantastic. And he looked. Sam always has that twinkle in his eye, you know, that twinkle that says, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And so not more than a moment or two later, he's got his chest puffed out there, and he's sitting back like Genghis Khan, you know, saying, this is my empire. This is my world. I am the master here. And we, yes, you are, sir. Yes, you are. This is. Now, it's not because we feel sorry for somebody we do that. It's because we recognize that they're the alpha what? The alpha dog. They are the lead dog. When you have a dog herd, a pack, one dog is going to be the leader. Not all of them. One dog. And it might be the little one, the little yappy one. And the little yappy one goes around, get back here. And the other ones are intimidated, even though they're bigger dogs, four or five, six times bigger than that little yappy thing. But that little yappy thing, he's got the Obama attitude. He says, all right, knock it off, go back up. I'm running the show now. And you, big dog, you come up here and you stand guard. And you, big dog, you stand guard on this side. And in the back, you're all my pack, you know. And they follow him. They do exactly what he says. Size does not make the difference. There's a lot of little women in this world who run big countries. You think their husbands are the running people who are running the country, but it's not them, it's the women. And it's those little women behind them who are so magical, so competent, so capable. They know that they're the master. Now, how do we develop master consciousness? How do we develop master awareness of ourselves so we can go anywhere, do anything, and enjoy anything we want? Well, we develop master consciousness by first not necessarily doing something out, liking ourselves. And now, nobody knows how to like themselves. Nobody knows how to like them. Well, I'll get myself a new suit. I'll get myself new clothes. I'll get myself a new wife or a new husband. I'll get myself something to show off who I am, you know. Well, that doesn't do it. To like yourself, you have to learn the theory of mathematics. The theory of mathematics, 2 times 2 equals 4, 2 times 2 equals 4. Once you have learned 2 times 2 equals 4 as a child, mathematics will be simple for you all your life. If you fight it as a child, mathematics will be difficult for you all your life because you have fought the opportunity to move in on mathematics as simply as you can. Okay. Now, when a little boy is having trouble, getting along in the world, and everybody's picking on him, he's a little grunt, and his dad comes up to him and says, "Son, you've got a problem. You got a big, big, big problem. And I got a little solution for you. Are you willing to do whatever I tell you to do?" "Well, I don't know, Dad. Do you believe in me?" "Yeah." "Will you do anything I tell you?" "Sure. Sure. You're my dad. You wouldn't do anything that hurt me. You want something good for me always. Would you do anything I tell you?" "Well, Dad, I said yes." "And then, do you mean it?" "Yes, I mean it." "Okay, now, I want you to get up in the morning and say, 'I like me.' I want you to brush your teeth and say, 'I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me.' I want you to take your shower and comb your hair and towel off and say, 'I like me, I like me, I like me. Ooh, I like me. It's a nice body. It's a strong, wonderful body. I like me, I like me, I like me.' And then, when you go to breakfast, say, 'This food is healthy for my body. And fill it with love. I like me, 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 I like me.' Say it to yourself. If you're out alone, say it out loud to the universe. But when you're with anybody, say it to yourself. 'I like me, I like me, I like me.' Now, what's going to happen is there's going to be a transformation that's going to take place in you.
What does transformation mean, Dad?
Well, transformation means there's going to be a change in you, like from the caterpillar to the butterfly. You're going into this cocoon of I like me. And the cocoon of I like me cuddles you, and you say, "I like me, I like me, I like me." And you're a stinking little worm crawling in there. Nobody likes you. You're just an ordinary caterpillar worm. Have you ever seen caterpillar worms? They're not very attractive. But you're like that caterpillar worm. And now when you come out of that cocoon, you're going to be a butterfly. Now, when you say, "I like me, I like me, I like me," you're wrapping yourself in that cocoon of love and peace and harmony. Now, you don't worry why it works or how it works or that it works. Just do it. "Okay, Dad, I told you I would." "All right, well then do it." Now, let's start right now. This is not tomorrow, but this is right now. This is tonight before you go to bed. What are you going to say? "I like me." Okay. Now, what are you going to say to your brothers and sisters? "I like you." That's a good start. That's a good start. Because if you like yourself, everybody you see, you're going to like, because you will do what you are to yourself to anybody else. And if you hate yourself, you're going to hate everybody else. If you like yourself, you're going to like everybody. Just that simple. Just that simple. And so the kid follows what you say. And he's very diligent. He's your son. You taught him that, right? You taught him to be diligent. And so he's saying, "I like me, I like me, I like me." And then what happens? What happens? Now, your daughter, you teach her to say, "I like me, I like me, I like me." You teach her to say, "I like me, I like me." Don't try to understand it. And watch some miracle transform her from a worm, a caterpillar, into a butterfly. I mean, that's the way it works. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's someone who has your daughter's work, or someone who is just not getting along with people, or someone who wants to be Obama himself, you know. Do you think Obama says to himself, "I like me"? When he looks in the mirror, does he say, "Yeah"? Or does he look in the mirror and say, "Wow, thank you, God, thank you, thank you"? He may even have God inside himself. And that would be lovely too. But he appreciates who he is. And he likes himself. And since he likes himself, everything works out for him. everything works out beautiful. You understand why? Do you understand why? Why? Why does it work out?
Because he likes himself.
What?
Because he likes himself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the effect. Now, what's the... That's the principle. That's the principle. He is applying a principle. The principle of I like me. The principle of cause and effect. And he's getting that wonderful effect of everybody liking himself. But he doesn't play into it. He just keeps saying, I like me, I like me, I like me. People like the little bit better that he is, and they want to say, oh, you're, hey, great, you're nice to play with now. You know, you're not that little shyster that we used to play with. But he doesn't stop there. He continues right on going, I like me, I like me, I like me, until his dad tells him to stop. And his dad will never tell him to stop. But until his dad tells him to stop. And after a while, it's so natural for him to say this, he does it. He walks up to his teacher's desk and he's saying, I like me, I like me, I like me. And the teacher's sitting there with a growl on her face thinking, no, you didn't do that lesson right. And she looks up at him and sees the beatific smile on his face, sees that I like me attitude in his heart. And she has to say, you've made some great improvements. And that's not what she intended to say. But she had to say that because he liked himself. She didn't dare say anything to him that wasn't conforming with what that he liked himself. Now, he went home and told his dad all about the things that were happening. And his dad said, no, that's good. That's good. Just keep it up. You think that's good. You think what's happened already is good. Ha, 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 ha. What do you mean, ha, 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 Dad? Yeah, yeah. You think what's happened is good. You just what? You keep that up. You keep that up. And you keep it up all your life, but you keep it up. Every day of your life will be a day of magic, a day of mystery, a day of excitement. Whatever you choose to do, someone's going to invite you to come and do it with them. Whatever you dream of having, someone's going to give you it and say, hey, I got two. Would you like one? Whatever desire of your heart you have, the world is going to say, hey, get your desire up a little higher. You're worth more than that. You're good and very good. But you see, this is what a master consciousness is. A master consciousness is not a matter of just being superior, being competent, capable, and all that good stuff. That too. But a master consciousness is where you are, you're an Obama. You like yourself. He's not putting on a show to pretend that he likes himself. He'd run out of steam after a while. He'd run out of the ability to maintain that poise if it's not the real him. But it's the real him. Now, let that be the real you. Can you see, Mr. Endless?
Yes.
You don't just walk out here for a show. You walk out here because that's your style. Did it make sense?
Yes.
Is that just, you know, you were wearing clothing yesterday, which was not anything special. But the minute you started to strut, your clothing were very special. The minute you started to strut like Obama, you looked like the king himself. You know? You look great. And it's not what you wear outside. It's what you wear in the charisma of your inside. That does everything for you. That does. Why do you think your girlfriend accepted you and got married? Because you were the only one available? I think your girlfriend's a rather attractive girl, and she'd have no trouble getting any guy that she wanted. But she chose you because she realized you were the next Obama, even before Obama came along. But this is what life is all about. When you take the principles, you use them, and you apply them to your life, magic takes place in your life. Magic takes place in your life when you say, I like me, I like me, I like me. Remember that always, the caterpillar popping into the fish, right?
Right?
Right. No, the caterpillar popping into the butterfly. Not the fish. Now, I know maybe there's some fish transitions too that are made, but the caterpillar is the worm changing from a normal, ugly, undistinguished, uninteresting worm into a glorious, many-colored winged butterfly. You know? And did you ever lift a butterfly on your finger? It's nothing. I like to talk about one of our students, Irene Merkley. She's such a glorious person. And she kisses right on the lips, like a butterfly. Whenever she gives me a kiss, I think, ooh, what a girl. You know, wow. I know that it's not a come on or anything. It's just the gentleness, the spiritual quality of a master in her that's coming out that way. No one misunderstands it. Of course, they all want to have her. They all want to say, Irene, you know, you want to be mine? You want to marry me? You want to live in my world? And she says, no, thank you. I live in everybody's world. I like being a free spirit. I'm a very happy lady. Now, one day she may choose to get married, but that'll be her choice. She's not going to stop being a free spirit until she's ready to have a man who's going to be a free spirit with her, you know, and do the things she likes to do. Oh, she's had a lot of wonderful male friends in her life, but every one of them was possessive. Every one of them tried to control her, tried to control her life, and she says, no, thank you. And they said, no, thank you, here I'm the most wonderful man in the world. You say, no, thank you to me, you know? And yes, she says, no, thank you, not with any unhappiness. Thank you for your sharing and your loving and your kindness, but no, thank you. You see, if you're a princess or a prince, you don't just take anybody to get married to. You take another prince or princess. You take one of equal rank to you, not that you're superior, but a princess and a prince know how to get along together. They're both raised as a royal family. They're both raised to only do the right things. They're both raised to be a role model for their people. They're both raised to be leaders, rulers of their nation. When the king dies or queen dies, then they take over, you know. It's not a matter are they good or bad. That's their destiny. That's their plan for life. So, the prince and princess who are raised by parents who prepare them well for the role of being leaders of their people, they believe in themselves. In this show, there was a cartoon character, Princess Nadia, from Nadia, I forget the name of the title, but anyhow, they're cartoon characters. And then the Wicked Witch throws the princess down the well because she wants to get rid of her. And she comes up in the streets of New York as a human being wearing her princess gown. And it's really silly. And so, next thing you know, the princess, what did you do to her? And so he leaps into the well, not knowing what it's going to be, but he's going for his princess. And he goes down and he comes out the manhole in the well and he says, has anyone seen my princess? And of course here he is now where there are buses and other types of vehicles that he's never seen in his life, but he takes it all in stride. And so they were doing something one time and the TV show said, have you ever thought of not liking yourself? Have you ever thought of not liking yourself? And so his person who was with him said, Prince, have you ever thought of not liking yourself? And he thought for a minute and he said, what's there not to like? Now, that is profound. That is profound. What is there not to like about me? I'm the prince. What is there not to like about me? I am me, or you. What's there not to like about you? Only what you think about yourself that's not likable. Because you exacerbate, you empower, you build upon that thing that you don't like, and then that becomes something in your world. Kind of silly. It's silly how we don't take the positive that when we can and build it into our life to be something quite beautiful and quite significant. We have that opportunity. We have that privilege. We have that responsibility. But do we do it? We don't do it. What else can we do now to demonstrate our master consciousness? We say here, I reveal the master in me. What else do we do to reveal our master consciousness? the father has gotten the son to say, I like me, and miracles are happening in his life. Do you believe me?
Yep.
Are you going to put it to work with your daughter? Are you going to put it to work with your daughter?
Yes, yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Are you going to put it to work with your daughter?
Yes.
Yes. You can repeat that. Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Now, how soon do you expect to see results?
Instantly.
Good. Good. Your daughter's a lucky girl. Now, you see, that's the causes you want to put in motion. You see her saying, I like me, and she changes her whole attitude. Her attitude right now is, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. I'm afraid to think of myself as being anything. I don't know who I am. She just hasn't any self-confidence yet. So, go after her and let it build by itself. Boom! It's a miracle happening with all your kids. All your kids, wherever they may be, at home or visiting others or wherever they may be, go to them and talk to them about, I like me. Say, you know, if you will say, I like me, as often as you can during the day, and think about it, dream about it all night long, do this. Give them a time for the fun of it. Say, do this until your birthday. And then on your birthday, you'll have a miracle. I mean, doesn't that sound interesting? On your birthday, you'll have a miracle. Now, that's something to work for. So, you created it. You're the master. You're creating these symbols, and you're putting these symbols to work. So then, when your son or daughter has their birthday, and they've been saying this, and before they had their birthday, they've been not quite sure of themselves, not quite the master that they are. Their birthday comes along, and you say, well, master, how does it feel? Oh, yeah, very good. You plant those seeds. Those are just seeds, but very wonderful seeds. Seeds that bring very wonderful harvest. Now, that's true. What about your kids? Or kid? You got three, right? Yeah,
one.
Right? Okay. I, 1, 3, and 11, and 29. So, and you have three too, right?
Four. Yeah.
See? You're not going to let me get away with three when you've got four. So that's great. Okay, now, what are you going to do about them? What are you going to do about your kids? You're three and you're four. What are you going to do about them?
I would tell them to be saying, I like me, as often as possible through
the and day. Tell each one of them, for your birthday, I have a special gift for you. When you will say, I like me, between now and then, regularly, night and day, all the time, to yourself, not out loud, you know, to yourself, and say, I like me. I've worked with a lot of mentally ill people who had no values and had no motivation to do anything, no motivation to be anything, and so I wasn't working as a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I was just working as a philosopher and as a practitioner. But I worked with them, and I said, now, if you will say these things, I gave them all sorts of nonsense. And they believed me, and they put it in practice. And for them, it happened. For them, it happened beautifully, because they believed it, and they put it in practice. Now, it doesn't matter what you believe. Whatever you believe, if you put it in practice, it will work. Really. If you believe you're a billionaire by the time you're, I don't know, 40, what's the next age you're coming up with, you guys? I'm 25, you know. So if you believe you're a billionaire in the next 10 years, and then stop believing it, just act like it's so. To believe is to want. But when you act like it's so, you're acting like it's so. And then you go around, you act like a... Do you think Bill Gates goes out and spends money all the time? That's no fun for him. What's fun for him is to do his projects, to do the dreams that he has in his heart. And that's what makes him happy. Now, a billionaire doesn't give away money to everybody. Bill and Melinda Gates are very careful who they give their money to, because they do not want to hurt those people. If you give people money and then it's all gone because they don't know how to use it, and then they're worse than they were before because they knew what it was like to have money. And that's not very nice to them. Parents who... I had one wealthy man of the Gill Electric Battery Company, and it was worth several billion dollars, and I was his real estate agent. and I sold him property here and there and what have you. And he had a daughter, one daughter, whose mother died when the daughter was a little girl, and he raised her. And he's a billionaire. Well, the daughter married an insurance salesman, an ordinary insurance salesman with an ordinary income of an ordinary house and an ordinary car and ordinary kids. And I said to Mr. Gill, I said, Mr. Gill, you are 87 years old now. And in a short time, you're going to get tired of your business and either die or quit or go off on vacation or something or have fun. And then your kids, or your daughter, is going to inherit your business. And your daughter and your son are going to say, wow, money, money, money. And they're going to say, let's spend, spend, spend. And, you know, as impossible as it sounds, they could go through the billions of dollars you got in no time because they don't know how to make it work for them. Now, I would recommend that you take your daughter and your son-in-law in your business and teach them how to make money grow and how to handle it, because they're going to get it, so they might as well work on it. And kids, this is going to be your business. Do you want to learn how to run it? Yeah, sure. You know, they hadn't thought about it. They were just waiting for the old coot to die, you know. But yeah, sure. And so he took them in. Next time I went in his office, on one door was the name of the son-in-law as the director of the operations or whatever it is, and the daughter was the vice president in charge of everything, you know. And I wouldn't be surprised that the granddaughter gets an office or had an office soon after that. I stopped being his agent because I went into other areas, but fantastic. You see, what are you teaching your kids? Mr. Rockefeller, he knew how to teach his kids. Mr. Rockefeller was a very wealthy man in the United States back in the 20s and 30s. Money, he was Mr. Rich, Mr. Rich guy. And he had about six kids. He gave each kid an allowance. And he didn't say anything to the kid. He gave each kid an allowance. And he told the kid, this is money you can spend any way you want. However you want to spend it or invest it, just let it, watch it grow. Well, two of the kids came up to him and said, Dad, what do you mean we can watch it grow? You give us, he gets 12 cents and I get 10 cents. Pennies. Of course, back then, it was worth more. And so he said, well, invest it. Invest it in stock in my company, in our company. And so the kids invested the money in their father's stock. And by the time the children were out of school, out of high school, just high school, they were all multi-millionaires. And it's just because they took the little bit of money and invested it in the interest that they got back. And the grandfather, or the father rather, helped them very much. Now, wasn't that a blessing? Other kids said, you got 10 cents and you got to invest it, you can't even play with it. Well, what do I care? My dad buys everything we want. He buys the toys, he buys the clothes, he buys the food, and I don't need anything. But I don't need to spend money just because I got it. I'm an investor. I'm an investor. I'm investing in my dad's company. I am a real investor. My name should be on the board of directors as an investor. I'm an investor. And they were. But you see, your parents have not taught you to do this. My parents didn't teach me to do that. But some of my neighbor, their parents taught them to do it. And each one of those kids was fantastic. My son, when his wife and he separated. And so he was living on his ranch with the aircraft factory by himself. With his and his wife took the boy. And so he was living there. And he got infatuated by a girl, a woman like himself, man. And this girl was a very charming girl, very well-bred, well-brought-up. But her parents took money on her behalf from the time she was in elementary school and invested it for her and encouraged her to invest in it. Well, by the time she graduated from college, instead of owing money, she was a multimillionaire. A multimillionaire. Now that was back in the 70s, something like that. A multimillionaire. No, 80s. But anyhow, that's quite something. Well, Mark says, let's do this. She says, no, I want to do this. You know, she's got the money. She's got the money, so she says where to go. And Mark says, well, I want to do this. She says, well, I want to do that. And after a while, Mark was very obsequious with her. He went with her and did everything. She was the boss. Well, it turned out that she got tired of him. And then she went and got herself another guy. And he said, what happened? And I said, Mark, you weren't yourself. She was buying you with her money. She was buying you with her self-confidence. And I said, Mark, you got more self-confidence than she does, but you didn't use it. You didn't use it. And he thought to himself, boy, what a clown I was. What a clown. But love, not love, but relationships and feelings sometimes mess up our thinking. Now, he had everything she did and more. Not the dollars, but the talent and everything. And he built airplanes and sold them around the world. He did these things. He was a recognized person. And she was a recognized person in her right. But he thought because she was recognized for money, that was a more important thing. And we oftentimes do that. We oftentimes think that because people got money, we should recognize them. But that doesn't mean anything. What we should do is to recognize ourselves. What we should do is say, I like me. Build that self-confidence of I like me and put it in our inner self so that we get our whole world going something just wonderful for us, and we can do it. Are you the master of yourself? What's our theme here? I reveal the master in me. How do you want to reveal the master in you? Sibyl, how do you want to reveal the master in you? Yes, I like me. That's very nice. Thank you. But now, how do you want to reveal the master in you? I want to hear what you have to say because I want to see which direction you're going. Yeah.
When I use the principle and have confidence in myself, then I flow with whatever idea that comes out.
Okay. Now, do you?
I do.
You do. You have confidence in yourself?
Yes.
You think that you're a pretty nice person?
Yes.
No? I know it.
I know it, yes.
I know it. You don't think it, you know it. You think that everybody delights in your presence. I know it.
I know it.
Yeah. Is that true? Everybody delights in her presence.
Yes.
Everyone respects you because you respect yourself. Everyone respects you because you have an organization here. You have built yourself a wonderful philosophy organization. You built yourself a school here. You built yourself a university here. You built yourself lots of things here. That's pretty terrific, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it terrific?
Yes.
Yes. You didn't think about that, did you? But that's what you did. Now, is it going just better and better and better?
Yes.
Now, it could go like this, shoom, like a rocket. But then you have to spend so much time in administration, you can't spend the time you want in development of the philosophy. Now, how do you develop the philosophy?
The philosophy is already is.
You should have a course here and have Endless teach the course in how to look like a billionaire, how to act like a successful man, how to be all that you can be, and have him teach everyone how to march, how to walk, how to strut, you know. Could you do that?
Yes.
Yes, that would be kind of fun with it. Now, is that a joke?
No.
No? No. Now, would you say in the depth of your heart that that course alone might be the turning point for anybody's life?
Yes.
That alone might get people thinking positive thoughts about themselves, believing in themselves, believing that they're worthwhile, believing that they're good. You know? It's up to you. Now, if you have a daughter who has a problem, start teaching her self-confidence. When she believes in herself, she will be true to herself and true to her world and true to all the principles in her world. And this is true for every member of your family, including you, including your husband and your wife, you know, including each of you. Because all of these things that we're sharing here are basic principles for the successful master. You've heard of Mandrake the magician, Merlin the magician, all these other beautiful magicians. What quality did they have? They knew how to make fire dance and do different things with chemicals and stuff like that, and perhaps they were able to even walk on fire or other things. But what did they have? They had a gown, they had a cap, they had a wand, and they had a show. They walked like Obama, and then they walked like that man, and they walked with confidence, and people believed in them. You remember the story about Daniel and the lion's den? Well, Daniel had a political difference with his associates, and they had the king put him in prison. And so the king put him in the lion's den, because that's where the king said anyone who did what he did would have to go. And then the king waited till morning. He put him in the evening. And in the morning, the king came, "Daniel, you still there? You okay?" Well, meanwhile, Daniel went in the lion's den, and he looked around and saw all these hungry lions. And he said, "I'll tell you what, guys." And he talked to them just as though he could understand them, just as though they could understand him. He understood what he was saying. And so he said to the lions, "Now look, I want to tell you the story of my life. I had a very interesting life. My brothers threw me in a pit and all sorts of interesting things, though." Or was it Joseph? But anyhow, Daniel had all sorts of problems. And so the lions didn't pay too much attention. The growly ones were standing off, but the females and the little ones came near him, and he stroked them. And they said, "Ooh, that feels good." And then he came in closer for more stroking. Pretty soon, the other lions came in for stroking. And Daniel sat there, cuddling around with all these lions, telling them the story of his life. And all the lions were purring and listening to him and snuggling with him and saying, "That's interesting." They didn't understand him. All they knew is that he loved himself first. And he loved them because he loved himself. And they weren't about to hurt him because he loved himself. Now, isn't that something? Isn't that something? That lions didn't eat him because he loved himself? What would any normal human being do who was put into a lion's den? Scream and be frantic and want to get out of there. "Let me out of here, help, help, help." You know? And of course the lions would get more excited, you know, because they like blood filled with adrenaline. It was kind of a good thing to have. But Daniel didn't fall for that. He didn't fall for that trap. What about David and Goliath? You know that story? David was that young boy who was tending the flocks in the field, and Goliath was the key man on the football team. He was the lead man for the soccer team for Nigeria, and he was taller than the rest of them. He was really tall, 7 feet perhaps, and he's a real muscular guy. He really built himself up, but he gave the king a hard time, and so the king's called in David and said, "Here's my problem." To a kid, he said this. And the kid said, "I'll take a whack at it." So he took a stone and put it in his slingshot. And he hit Goliath right between the eyes and knocked him silly. Whether he killed him or not, that doesn't say, but he knocked him silly. And he went boom with a great fall. And all of the soldiers who were working with Goliath, "Our leader is gone." They knocked out our leader and they ran away. And the king stood there with the kid and said, "Thank you." Now, you see, what was his strength? The strength of David and Goliath was what?
Confidence.
What?
Confidence.
Self-confidence, yeah. Believing in themselves. Totally believing in themselves. He believed in himself. And he looked at that monster and he said, "Now if I were going to have a wolf come after my sheep or about nine come after my sheep. I cannot afford to get uptight about it. I cannot afford to worry. I have only one shot, or then the next thing, the mountain lion got me. And so he took his slingshot, and he's good. He practices all day long throwing that slingshot. He's sharp. And it's not a big piece of rock, it's just a little piece about so big. And he put it in, and boom, and it hit him right between the eyes. And the big giant fell before him. Now, did the king believe that could happen? He hoped it might. Did his men believe it? Not any of them. Did David believe it?
Yes.
Yeah. He believed it. That's why he went there. He went there because he believed it. He believed he could stem the tide of the Philistines that were coming in against his king. And he did it. Well, of course, he was very well rewarded. He ended up being a king himself. But how wonderful that is. How wonderful that is when we learn self-confidence. Here he was just a shepherd boy in the desert with nothing but his slingshot. And he was called in by the king to help him. Now, we think that's a big deal. But if you realize how many tribes were there in the desert at that time, and the Philistines and the David's team, what did they do? They were just two desert tribes, and they were fighting against each other. And it wasn't any great big cities and nations against nations, as we are led to think. It was just two primitive tribes in the desert. Now, David was known by all his people, and they knew he was good, but they knew also he couldn't slay a giant. But David didn't think of slaying the giant. David just thought, we must stop him. We must stop him. I must take care of my king. He asked me to help, so I'll help. And he did. Now, I ask you to help yourself by saying to yourself that I am what? I am self-confident. I'm the master of my world. I'm the master of my life. My daughter is going to say,
I like me.
My daughter is going to say,
I like me.
Yours? You got daughters?
I like me.
I like me. And what's going to happen when they say, I like me? When they say, I like me, they're going to begin to like themselves. They're going to enjoy their own company and think that they're pretty wonderful people. And when they think they're pretty wonderful people, they're going to act like pretty wonderful people. They're going to act self-confident. They're going to act with a chin up and shoulders back. And they're going to believe in themselves. They're going to say, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. And it is wonderful. Now, does it work for you too?
No.
Yes, you bet. It works for you too in anything you do. You go into your business and you go in there and you do your work, but you go in there like Obama, you know, strut in there, do your work, pick things up, just like you're the owner of the company, you know, like you're the manager, the owner, like it's all your stuff. And people come out and they see you doing this and they say, what class that guy is, what style that guy is, you know. They don't think that you're being, you know, uppity or anything. They just think you got class and style. And so then you work yourself well, and then you get so that you can take one box of bottles in each hand, and you hold them like a waiter would hold them, you know, and you walk out to your truck with these boxes of crated bottles in your hand, and then everybody's watching you, and you know it, because you like yourself. And so then you take one crate and you spin it in your hand, and then you set the other one down, and then you reach up while this one's still spinning and you set it down. Now, how can you do that? Well, circus people do that. It's just a matter of knowing how matter works, and how when you spin things and you do things, how it functions. You know? you know, these cowboys, they have whips with long whips on them so that they can go and get the cattle out of any place, you know, tick, 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 you know. How do they do it? They spend days snapping their whip, learning how to use it to take the cap. Take the cap off the bottle, not dump the bottle. They take the cap off the bottle. They can spin the cap off the bottle because they're so good. And what makes them so good? Practice. Every day saying, I'll do it. They don't tell anybody else what they're doing. They don't tell anybody else what they're doing until they've accomplished it. And then when they're ready, they just casually do it in front of their fellows. They take the whip and lift the bottle up and tip the bottle over into their friend's cup of coffee and give them some water and put the bottle back. How did you do that? You know, it's not stiff. It's a flexible piece of material. You learned how to do it by practice. By practice. How do you think they hold plates up on a saucer and two or three and one up on top of their head like that, like some of these people do in the circus? It's just practice. And you think, what magic people they are to do those things. Well, it's not magic. It's just the dynamics of how things work. And when you learn the dynamics of how things work and apply it to your life, then you get the benefit. And when you have a beautiful example like Mr. Obama in front of you playing his game, he does not offend you. He does not make you feel, oh, I could never do that. He makes you feel, wow, I'd like to do that. I'd like to be like him. I'd like to have that attitude he's got. And all you have to do is take the attitude and have it. Because when he walked around here acting like Obama, we could easily have said he was Obama. Because in his mind, that was who he was. In his mind, that's the game he played. Now, to be a master, you have to determine what game you want to play. You want to play a game where you are in charge of your world, of everything that goes on in your life. You want to be in charge of somebody else's. You want to be the president, or you want to be the head of government. Now, I've given you a game here over the years, and I've said to you, say this statement over and over again. Nigeria has the finest legislative minds in the world. Nigeria has the finest legislators in the world. Nigeria has the most honest legislators in the world. Nigeria has the most capable legislators in the world. Nigeria has legislators who spend the money of the country for the people, providing the people with all the great benefits. Now, that's all. You don't knock the legislators or tell the legislators what they should do. You merely say, Nigeria has the greatest legislators in the world. And what happens when you do that? Nigeria has the greatest legislators in the world. It's just as simple as that. Just as simple as that. You're not making something happen. You are putting a cause in motion, which can have only one result. Do you think the result is going to be you don't have good legislators? No. The result's going to be that you have good legislators. Now, whoever they may be, is you don't care. That's not in your interest, unless you want to be one yourself. But if you want to be one, just remember, you are one of the finest legislators in the world if you're going to run. Now, Obama got to be the president. He didn't get to be the president because he wanted to be. Well, how did he get to be the president?
I am
the president. Little children who achieve great things in life say, I am a scientist, I am. And then they go on and do it and do it and do it. And they're great. Some of them have parents who teach them psychologically these things. And that benefits them very much. And as they're taught these things psychologically, they turn out to be modern masters. But you teach them, I am. I am a mathematician. I am a musician. I am a good friend to all my friends. I am a good playmate. I like my friends. I like the people I play with. They're nice people. My parents say nice things about the neighbors. My parents say nice things about ourselves. You see, the kids only know that. They only know that. And we want them only to know that. Now, do you have the best husband in the world and the best wife in the world? The best children in the world?
Yes.
Well, don't ever forget it. Because now, from this moment forward, since you have said, I am married, this is my husband, my wife, you said that. That's what you said. Okay, now what comes next is, I have the best husband or the best wife in the world. The most loving, the most wonderful, the most competent, the most capable, the most fun mate in the entire world. My husband or wife is always inviting me to go out and do beautiful things. We go for walks together. We talk. We go for a drive in the country. We go dancing together. We go and have fun together. My husband's always taking me out. My wife is always ready to go. And I'm ready to go. This is what you put into motion. And when you put that in motion, then that's what you have in your family. That's what you have. Now, about your kids, you say, I'm a genius. Okay, I think you can handle that. I'm a genius. No. What do you say about your kids?
They are my reflection.
Every one of my children are genius also. I mean, the parents are geniuses, so the kids are genius. Are you geniuses?
Yes.
So you say, my children are genius. And what does genius mean to you? Wise, 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 and intelligent. Intelligent last, wise first. Because it was wisdom that made King Solomon great, not intelligence. Because he didn't have to know a lot, he just had to be wise in how he administered the judgment to the people. And they kept him, and they loved him. Now, when you have children that are intelligent, when you have children that are wise, when you have children that are geniuses, they will reflect what the family believes about itself. Now, what does a family believe about itself? Does a family believe that it is an intelligent family? If it doesn't believe that it's an intelligent family, it should get off the map. Because every family is an intelligent family. Every family is beautiful. Every family is good and very good. Every family is rich. Every family is healthy. Every family is wealthy, happy, hearty. Every family is supercalifragilistic, expialidocious. Every family. Now, is this true for you? If you ever get unhappy with your husband for anything, or your wife for anything, if you ever get unhappy with them for anything, stop and think, why are you being unhappy? Are you being unhappy at them for what you think they did? Or are you being unhappy with them for what you think they did? Not for what they really did, but what you think they did. And you'll find out that most of the time, it's something that really never happened that you're being unhappy about. In life, we are blamed the majority of the time for things we didn't do. We are blamed for our attitudes and our abilities, majority of the time, for things that we didn't do. And we want to change that. We want to be so self-confident. Is Obama an evil man? No. Is Obama a liar? No. Is Obama a thief? No. Is Obama bad in any way? No. My God, you know, he must be running for God. He's so perfect. Yeah. Why do you, and you don't know Obama more than anybody else, why do you think he's so wonderful? The show he puts on. You believe in his show. You believe in the theater that he puts on when he walks and talks and expresses himself. You believe it. You believe in the results he gets from meeting with different people. You believe in him. You believe in him. Well, why not believe in yourself? Why not let your wife, your husband, look at you and say, dear, You can do anything. You can do anything. They believe in you 100% because you believe in yourself. They believe in you 100% because you believe in yourself. It's not a matter of wishing things were so. It's a matter of what game are you playing? How are you revealing your mastership? I can give you all the rules of the game, and I have. And I can tell you how to play the game, and I have. And I can show you the results that come to you if you play the game right, and I have. And I have year after year after year, and you haven't played the game with me. You haven't played the game with me because if you had played the game with me, you would have the results. Now, why don't you have the results? You don't have the results because you're not playing the game. Did I say your daughter is perfect? Did I say your daughter is wonderful and fantastic and stuff like that? Yeah. Well, then why isn't she? Huh? You answer it.
She hasn't played the game. He hasn't played the game.
Why isn't your daughter wonderful and fantastic and glorious?
My daughter is wonderful, fantastic, and glorious.
That's part of the game. My daughter is. You don't let me or anybody else come up to you and say, your daughter is less than perfect. You know what I mean? Nobody. And you don't confirm that by saying, I would like her to be able to stand more straight. I'd like her to be able to do more things. Sure, everybody would. No matter how wonderful your kids are, you know they can be better, right?
Yes.
No matter how wonderful you are, you know you can be better.
Right.
All of us. So, now, if I say to you, why isn't your daughter expressing the beauty that she could? Your answer is?
She's expressing the beauty she is.
Thank goodness. That's right. But instantly, that's how the game is played. Now, I'm playing game with you, and you get the bat in your hand. You know what a bat is, don't you? For bat and ball. You take the bat and you hit the ball. Did you have that game down here? Baseball?
Yes.
What do you call it? Not soccer, squash.
Tennis.
I'm sorry?
Tennis,
sorry. You know tennis. Okay. So, your daughter takes the tennis ball, and you know the game a little bit. Your daughter takes the tennis ball and serves it to you. Now, what does she do? Carry it over and hand it to you? Or does she take her racket and hit it to you? She takes her racket and hit it to you. And if you stand there and say, I wasn't ready. You shouldn't have hit the ball over here until I was ready. I was just lighting a cigarette. I was just having a drank glass of water. Why did you hit the ball over here? I wasn't ready. Dad, the game has begun. Now just hit the ball back. Stop arguing. Let's see if you can pick up any points. And so you play the game. But you see, you got to play the game all the time. It's not just one moment you play it, the next moment you're having a cup of coffee. You're always playing the game. And when your daughter hits the ball to you, you got to be ready to return it to her. And you return it to her so that she can have self-confidence. You don't take it and put it over her head or out beyond her reach. You put it right where she can get it. So she builds confidence and ability. And then after she plays very well, you know, as the kids get a little older, they play very well. After she plays well, then you get tougher. Then you play like a winner. But before that, you play like a father, teaching the daughter how to play. Now, does that mean she can't play? No. It only means that you're taking it step by step, proving to her the master that she is there. And you are a master in not needing to get credit. Well, I'm playing my daughter, I'm letting her win. Oh, drop dead. That's the ugliest thing you could ever say. You know what another ugly thing is? I adopted these children. Did you adopt those children? Yeah. Don't tell anybody. Those are my children. They have my name. I may not have given birth to them, but I adopted them. But you don't say I adopted them, because those kids should live in your family with the same feeling that all the rest of the children have, all belonging to the family. And so it is when you play tennis with your daughter. You don't say to your friends, I'm playing tennis with my daughter, I'm teaching her how, I'm letting her win. No. My daughter wins regularly. She is good. She's getting better all the time. Pretty soon I'm going to have to remember all my good tennis practices and give her a really hard time. But I don't let her win. Butch is what you do. But you have her win to build her self-consciousness. Do you think that if your daughter hears you say that to someone, that you let her win, that that's going to build her self-consciousness? No way. Don't even let it seep out. Don't even let it come in your mind at all. Always just say, my daughter is a great player. We played four sets this morning and she won four of them. Amazing girl. And she just started. She still can't figure out which hand to keep the racket in, because she's not sure whether she's left-handed or right-handed. But she's good both-handed. She's good both-handed. She's good. She's good. She's good. My daughter's good. She's good. She's good. She's good. Everybody you tell, my daughter's good. Maybe I can play with her. Not yet. I'm keeping her under wraps until she builds up her skill in certain areas, because she's good. But she's liable to take that ball and run it right through your forehead if you're not careful, you know. Because when she puts her racket to her ball, that moves. And I don't want her to hurt anybody, so I want to teach her how to put that racket over your ear, but not through your head. You see, the art of playing tennis with your child, the art of working with your children, the art of working with your husband or wife, the art of working with yourself, it's all the same. It's all the same. I like me. I like me. I like me. And then you say, every organ, action, and function of my body is in divine order right now. Every organ, action, function of my body is in divine order right now. Every organ, action, function of my body is in divine order right now. You say, well, why am I saying that when I'm not sick? Well, that's not the point. You are building in your consciousness the truth about yourself, the awareness about yourself. And when you say to a little child, oh, you're fine, they scraped their knee and ran off to play. You're fine, there's no problem. You're wonderful. And then what happens? The child runs off to play and doesn't even notice a scratch on their leg. Here's a kiss. On the run, go play. And the kid goes and plays. They don't remember problems like that, but you do. And you say, well, let's wash that off so you don't get any bacteria or any problems. Well, you make the problem. You make the problem by your worry. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to recognize that you are the master in everything you do. And as the master in everything you do, you're in charge. And being in charge, you put the cause in motion for every experience you want. And if you want an experience of happiness, then you're all in your whole life. Think happy thoughts your whole life long. Get up in the morning. Think happy thoughts. Go to bed at night, think happy thoughts. Do everything you do with happy thoughts. Yeah, you're fantastic. Have you seen the movie Sound of Music? It's a video, and it's a nice movie. And Julie Andrews is in that movie. And she's in a monastery, or rather in a convent. And in this convent, she's talking to the Mother Superior, and she says, Mother Superior, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I'm a farm girl, and I think the only thing I'm good for is to be a nun, you know, to be here in the convent. And the Mother Superior says, no, the only thing you're good for is to like yourself and enjoy your world. And she says, well, how do I do that? And so the Mother Superior sings a song to her. A song I'm sure each one of you have heard. And it said, climb every mountain, swim every sea, follow every rainbow, till you find your dream. And it's a beautiful song, a dynamic and wonderful song. And it's one that if you haven't heard, you might want to get a hold of it. Climb Every Mountain. That's not the only show that it's been in, but that's a recent use of the song. And then when Julie Andrews is going to a job that they want her to go to, and she's not sure how she's going to like it, she has to take care of 9 children, I think, but it doesn't matter. She has to take care of these children. And so as she's getting ready to go in the entrance of the home, she's saying, I don't know if I can handle this sort of thing. So what? I will go in and I will do whatever I have to do. I will be me. I will just have fun. And she goes in there and she has fun. And the children are very mean to her because they've had many nannies. And every nanny, they scared the wits out of her and chased her away. It's only 12 of them. And so this girl comes in there. And so what do? They put in the girl's purse a frog. And so she opens her purse and drops this frog, you know, because she's a farm girl. But still, it's startling, you know. And so then she goes to dinner, the first dinner with the whole family. And the man sits at one end of the table and she sits on the other. And they take a pine cone from the pine tree and put it on her seat, you know, just right there. And so she goes in, sits and talks, and sits, you know. And so she looks down and she sees the pine cone. She knows it's the kids, you know. She knows, but she doesn't say a thing. And the guy says, do you always sing like that before you sit down to eat? You know, And she says, I was just so startled. And she was startled, but she didn't say anything about it. And then later, the kids come into her room because of the thunderstorm that frightened them. And she's gathering them all together in her bed, mothering them, and telling them there's nothing to be frightened about. Everything is in God's order, divine order. But because of her innocence, and I think that's a big, big feature, her innocence and her pure love, she handled the circumstance beautifully and wonderfully. But this is what we want to do. I think we want to do. I do it. Put a little more music in your life. I have 3 iPods. You know what an iPod is? iPod has anywhere from 600 to 6,000 songs on it. And so I'm traveling in the airplane and I have my iPod plugged in my ear. And I'm listening there while I'm working on my computer and doing all the things I do. And it's just lovely. And I can choose the music I want to hear. The music that's uplifting, the music that tells me I'm a wonderful person, that satisfies me and makes me feel real good. It's a glorious thing. Really a glorious thing. And they have a new iPod out now. And let's see. You see this piece of candy here? You see that piece of candy? The iPod is that size. Okay. That size. It clips anywhere. And it has 6,000 songs on it. 6,000 songs that you choose. And you just play it and let it go. It's really wonderful. Lord, did you send that person in here? Do you always come to meetings after it's over? Shame on you, Lord Johnson. My goodness sake. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. If you went into your military career and came through the door after the program was over, your officers would say to you, what is this all about? Are you teaching us to have bad habits and come late? Shame on you. We love you. I love you. Anyhow. If the children come in late and act that way, I still love them. So, I think we've done very well by that. Does anyone have any questions about our topic, which is, I reveal the Master in me?
Yes.
How you can reveal the Master in you? Let's just have endless strut for us for a few moments. Endless, will you be Obama for us and start here and go there and there?
Yes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to bring to you today the President of the United States. And he will have a few words to say to you about having the right attitude about yourself and positive thinking. Let's all stand and greet the President of the United States. Welcome.
Thank you.
The President of the United States would not talk with his voice in the back of his throat.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you how wonderful the world is. Let be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you how wonderful the world is. It's getting on to 100 days we step into the White House. We have made a lot of achievements, changed people's thoughts, changed the financial situation, improved the life of people in the society, adequate health care for everybody, serious financial sophistication in all our business, and you are here to make sure that you contribute to your own part in the United States. In the United States, we don't have any white state, we don't have any black state, we don't have any blue state nor any red state. We have the United States of America. Here in the White House, we are doing everything possible to make sure that you are safe, and we all are safe. There is no war in America, we don't have any enemy. We are the giants of the world. And since we are the giants of the world, you are safe in your house, your children are safe, your future is safe. There is no threat in America. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. President.
You're speaking to this audience, and you're doing this with your hands instead of this. You want to speak to all the audience, not just this, you know, like the horse blinds that are on you. But you want to have your arms spread out to, like the Pope. The Pope knows the story, you know. He gets out there, reaches the whole audience that he's reaching for. So spread your arms out and do it again, just for a short illustration.
Okay.
With your hands.
Here in the state of America,
Wonderful. We have
everything. The food is here for you. The health care is here for you. You are safe in your house, in your working place, and we all are always safe.
Very good. But
America,
don't you feel better?
Secure place in the world.
Don't you feel better?
I feel better.
Yeah. Good. If you're too tight in there, that's too small a segment. That's everybody.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, now, will you walk the full length of the room and show us how Obama does it?
Okay.
And let's put a little bit of strut in there. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States. We've all stood for him now. Very good. Come on. Yes, don't forget to wave. You know? Thank you.
Warm like the Pope.
You see, he really knows how to get in the act, doesn't he? That's great. In fact, he's like most politicians. Once you get him up, you can't get him down. Very good. Very good. Thank you for that presentation. Endless.
The game starts immediately.
Yeah, no question. No question. He is going to be a tremendous success in everything he does.
Yes.
Mr. Obama, what did you have to say?
I'm not Obama.
I'm Obama.
But
please, I have three questions.
Well, come out here. You know, this fellow had the audacity to say that he couldn't hear me. And he said I should have a microphone. And so what does he do? He sits in the back of the room. Now you think if he really wanted to hear what I had to say and he couldn't hear too well, he would come to the front of the room. In fact, he'd sit right down in front of me and that would be fine. I don't mind that. Okay, now, give me your note. Give me your note.
You may not
give me your note. Okay, now, okay. Now go be seated. No, stay here. Okay, now, I told you, write down your questions so that I can read them. Now, is it here?
Okay.
It's not there.
Let me write it clearly.
All right. You're going to write it?
Yes.
Please do. Because I would like to answer your question, not an interpretation of your question. Here. Here, Dad.
I have a pen.
Well, then go use it. The things that we're doing here today are not flippancy. They're all done with a very definite purpose. And I don't love you any less for your stupidity than I do for your brilliance. I love you absolutely, no matter what you do, you know, no matter the fact that you forgot to say, you know, she's holding her fantastic, glorious, you know. We have to train ourselves all the time to be on top of our words, be on top of our thoughts, be on top of the things that we do. Now, we are sort of smiling at Endless here, playing the role of the president. Well, it's probably a well worth smile, because he's never going to do anything with it. He's never going to go out and be the master that he is. He's never going to go out and direct himself to the way that he can do it, because he just isn't going to do it. What's wrong? What's wrong? Endless!
Sorry.
Tell me to go jump in the lake. Tell me.
You gotta jump into the lake now.
That's right. Because
you can't do it.
I am going to do all the things I said I'm going to do.
Okay.
Yes, you.
Tell yourself. You were saying something.
Be confident in yourself.
So.
Did you walk around here like the president?
Yes.
Did you think that sort of like the role you're playing on your various businesses, right?
Yes.
Are you a master?
I'm a master.
Are you fantastic?
Yes, I'm fantastic.
Okay. Are you going to do all those things?
I'm going
okay,
to.
Okay, now. Your daughter doesn't know beans.
She knows.
But she does not say she knows beans. My daughter is a brilliant girl. Stay. Stay up. You say, my daughter is a brilliant girl.
My daughter is a brilliant girl.
Super. Now, you don't say, she does know beans, because you don't know what knowing beans means. Nobody does. But, you see, say what you really mean, not corresponding to what was said. And if I say your daughter stinks, you say, oh, she put that new perfume on the can. You know, you make a truism out of it and say, oh my God, she's got that new perfume on the can. And I told her it was like a skunk perfume. Okay, now you. Anybody say to you that you don't know what's going on? You just say, oh, did I miss something? You know, don't say, I do. I know everything. Just say, oh, did I miss something? Presuming that you are all wise, presuming that you know all things, that you are on top of all things. Now, you see, you're a different person than you were 10 seconds ago. 10 seconds ago, you were the president. Now, you are endless. And now,
I'm the president.
Huh?
I'm the president.
Stay in that role and watch the magic take place in your life. Thank you.
Thank you.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to make comments that are going to run you down. Not because that's what I believe about you, but because I want you to make a response to that in the truth that you know.
Okay.
On campus, I do that to the girls now and then, because they're, oh, sometimes they forget how wonderful they are. And I'll say, boy, you don't know beans. You know, I use that occasionally. You don't know beans about Shinola, and you're just so stupid. Why do you do things like that? And they say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Shut up. Don't let me talk to you like that. You just say, Herb, I'm a lot smarter than I've been showing recently, but thank you for bringing it to my attention that I should be more definite on that. I am brilliant. I am a genius. I am wonderful. And so I push their buttons to remind them to stand up for who they are. Now, you, I'm pushing your buttons to remind you to stand up for who you are. Now, your daughter is a little rattlesnake. Your daughter wants to go around biting all the children. Your daughter wants to go around chasing the dogs off the property. Your daughter wants to go around being a mean little boom. And you say?
She could make mistakes.
I'm sorry?
But she is.
I'm sorry?
She could make a mistake
what?
One time.
But hey! What kind of garbage you tell me?
She is brilliant.
You don't tell me she makes a mistake.
Yes.
Did you say she makes a mistake?
Yes.
I heard that she's brilliant. That's good.
She could make a mistake. Okay.
Make a mistake? No! She never even participated in the junk I talked about. It didn't apply to her. And you know that. So you don't answer that. You merely say, I'm happy you noticed how brilliant my daughter is. She can do anything. She can make anyone think anything that she wants. She talks to the children and she puts on fairy tales with them, and they think that she's Princess Magnificent Joe. But see, always stand up for who you are. Always stand up for what you believe. And don't ever say your daughter makes... Your daughter doesn't know how to make mistakes. Your daughter is your daughter. The daughter of you. The magic man. And your daughter always does everything right. Right? Oh my gosh. It's wonderful to know a girl like that. As it's come to think of it, all the girls I know are like that. But you understand what I said?
Yes, I got it.
So if I push your button, you don't correct me. You merely say something which is positive that would show that that's the direction you're thinking. You don't empower what was said that was not nice. Because I try to make it as not nice as possible. I mean, who would go around calling a man's daughter a snake, you know, a rattlesnake, and chasing all the children away? What person would ever do such a hateful thing and say such a... Or someone who didn't mean it, who was pressing your button, and to see what you felt, whether you felt you had to defend her, or whether you felt, hey, so you say my daughter stinks. God, I told her not to use that perfume. You see? Now, isn't that a total different attitude? Right? Yeah. I told her not to use that perfume. Or, you mean she smells like me? She took my shaving lotion again? The kids like to do that, you know. They dress up like Mama and Papa. And they like to play those games. But I see, sometimes some of the things I say are not getting across, but most of them are, so that's all right. Okay, Dad, are you ready with your questions back there? Okay, do any of you have any questions? Wonderful. Your life is complete. You're magnificent. You're wonderful. Let's not make that too complex. Come on up here so we can get on with it and share it, okay? This is one point of concentration. Lord Johnson? Where were you before we had our session this morning? Why were you late, in other words? Or did you intend to be here, but at no particular time? I can see you talking to your people in the ministry of the army like that. So you can't even hear it. Shame on you. Speak loud. Okay. During the meditation, 3-hour meditation this morning, we played the game, I am God, God I am. Now, this now does go, this is done so fast that to be what, to be, that of something rather sufficiently suffocating the mind, why don't we impact it rather slowly? I will answer that question. He says, during the meditation we say, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am, I'm God, God I am. We say it so fast that it loses its effectiveness. Well, during the 3-hour meditation talk, I am sharing with you as much as I can to get it across to you, then you go and apply it. You go and do the 3-hour meditation. And when you go and do the 3-hour meditation, you see, what's his name? What's his name?
Nana. Nana.
Magnina?
Nana.
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 You are right.
That's
American.
Yes.
Magna?
Nana. Nana.
Printed.
It's not color.
Pronounce it.
Nana.
Nyana.
Nyana.
Nyan. 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 Nyan
My, what a different name. N-N-A-N-A.
Yes. Nana.
Nana.
Yes.
Is that
Nana.
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 Nana. Nana.
Nana.
Nana. There's no way you can pronounce Nana.
Good. Okay. Now he asked, we should perhaps do it more slowly. Now, he should have been at our previous seminars with the 3-hour meditation every morning. Now, the purpose of saying these things the purpose of the seminar is not to tell you the tempo at which things are to be done, but it's to tell you of the possibility of doing them and what it brings in your mind. Now, you're right and you're wrong. You're right because you're right, but you're wrong if you listen to what I said here. I said, tell your daughter to say, I like me, 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 I like 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 3. You don't have to know what it means. Do you think that his daughter knows what I like me means? Do you know what I like me means? Do I know what I like me means? No. All I know is that it's a phrase that's good. And so as the more I say it, the more I put it into me. And so any thought that comes along and says, I don't like me, is going to have a fight with the thought that says, I do like me. And the I do like me is the more dominant one, and so the I don't like me is going to be kicked out. It's going to get no attention. I will say this to you. Yes, it would be nice to have it a little more introspective as we speak it. Except, if we do this, I am God. God I am. I am God. God I am. I am God. You know what would happen to most people? They drop right off to sleep. If you have it too slow a tempo, they're going to go right off into sleep town. And I don't want that to happen during the seminar because I don't have time for people to nap during the seminar. I have enough people sleeping here during the seminar as it is. And during the 3-hour meditation, I look around and I see that we should have brought out a few more pillows, you know. But aside from that, all right, Mr. Nana, that answered a couple of your questions. And then you okay, with suffocating the mind with so much to, we should take time to do it slowly. All right, now, I like me, I like me. What is the difference between like me, like and love? Oh, okay. Why not we say, I love me? Do you teach school or something like that? Do you teach school? What is your profession?
I'm not a teacher.
Tell me what his profession is.
He's an auditor.
Auditor?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. One of those
guys. An accountant.
Accountant, yeah. Okay. But you see, what you're saying here is that Let's rewrite the program. And we're not going to do that. But what you're saying here is, why is it that we say, I like me, instead of I love me?
Yeah.
And not saying we should say, I love me, instead of I like me, because I love me is more powerful.
What's the difference?
Here's the difference.
Yeah.
The difference is, you love everything. You love everything. You can't help it. That's your nature. Your divine nature as God is to love all of your creation. There's nothing you can do about it. But when he goes around kicking cans in the middle of my lecture, I don't like that. You know? And so I say, please don't kick cans in the middle of my lecture. That's distracting. And so what does Mr. Stanislaus say? He said, I can kick cans if I want to. It's a free country. You know? And I say, well, then you're not invited to my lectures if you're going to try to draw people's attention away from the lecture. Now, I don't like what he did. I love Stanislaus. I love all of you, and I always will. I cannot stop loving you, but I don't like what he was doing. Now, did you ever do that, Stanislaus?
I like me.
Your answer could be, Herb, when you start talking, I am just spellbound by the magic of your words. Sound good?
Fantastic.
Is that you?
Yes.
Yeah, see, so you just got to help them get in the right lane of the bowling alley so that they can win. Now, he's doing a great job. Okay, the reason we don't use love
is because we love everyone unconditionally. That's what we teach. And yes, you can say, I love me, I love me, but when you say, I like me, I like me, I like me, you're liking your body, you're liking yourself, you're liking your whole being, and that's a beautiful thing. But when you say, I love me, I love me, right away, your body repels your action because it says, you don't always treat me right, you don't always give me the right foods, you don't always give me a bath when I want it, you don't always do this, you know. So that's some of the reasons that we are not using love instead of I like. So I may answer your question or not. Okay, you asked another third question here. During the morning's talk, you suggested we should say for the country, Nigeria has the best legislators in the world, or the like. Sound good? Does that sound good? Nigeria has the best legislators in the world.
Yes.
Does that sound good?
Yes.
You find any problem with that?
No. No.
Okay, let's see what he has to say here. While affairs, perhaps, what? Well, affairs, perhaps, or is or the world is, or the like, while affairs, perhaps, this may only are saying that opposite what is seen, and we are making an affirmation, and then you did sign it. Okay, now I don't care what sort of klutzes you have in your government here. They're probably the same klutzes that we have in the United States and that England has and every other nation has. But I do say this. The word, the power of our word is so utterly fantastic. It's really a shame we don't use the power of our word. And we can use the power of our word to bring about a positive result in whatever area we want. My daughter behaves beautifully. My son listens to me every time I say anything to him. My family worship me and enjoy my presence and want me to be with them whenever possible, you know. And my men in the military love to listen to the talks that I play to them from the tape that I get from her. So things like that. Now, if you say the legislators are doing a terrible job, they're stealing money from the government, they're corrupt and they're bad and they're evil, what you are doing is just going along with the status quo, saying what a few people say, but truly, have you ever gone to meet the legislators? Have you ever spoken with any one of them and said, how are you doing? How are things going there? Is there anything I can do to be helpful? I think that we have some of the smartest, most competent, most interested legislators in the world here in Nigeria. They really care about our nation and our country. I'm so proud to be in this country. I have no desire to leave it because I love it so. What would that legislator say to you? He would do everything to confirm what you say to him. And he would take your message back to his constituents as well as to his friends on the legislature. And he would tell them what you said. He would say, you know, I was talking to a dozen people yesterday and they all said this. Of course, there was only one. They all said this. They said that we have the finest ideal legislators in all the world here in Nigeria. They're interested in the people 100%. Interested in their welfare, interested in their good. Now, do you think that that's planting seeds and that those seeds will bear fruit whether you ever say it to a legislator or not? You just say it to your mind and your mind is one with the universal mind, and that
thought in the universal mind will be spread all over, will be seen all over and known all over. It's wonderful. No. In our programs here, in the University of Healing, we teach positive thinking, positive attitudes. We teach, if you will say positive things about yourself and your world, you will demonstrate positive things about yourself and your world. You will demonstrate positive attitudes in your world. You will demonstrate positive. Now, if Stanislaus will go home every evening to his family, he will stand at the door of his house, not walk in. And as he stands at the door of his house, he'll say, "Hey, is this the Dyke House?" And everybody will say, "Yes, yes, yes." "Well, I thought the Dyke House was filled with children who were very noisy and very, very, you know, bad children." "Well, this house is filled with children who are all so good, so loving, so wonderful. My goodness, is this the Dyke House?" "Yes, this is the Dyke House." "Daddy, you know that. This is the Dyke House." And so one by one, they run up and hug you, grab you by your legs and by your belly and by your shoulder and by however tall they are, and they tell you how much they love you. And your wife stands back there and she says, "That's my husband. That's the man I married, the good, beautiful father of my children. I love him." Now you see, what does he do? Perhaps when he came home the night before, the kids were a bedlam at home. Everything was a mess. They were just shouting and screaming at each other and being very unkind. And so this time he walks in, and that happened. Now, what happened to the children? They changed. I told you about this lady, Irene Merkley, who kisses like a butterfly. She is training herself to be a clown. And she goes into hospitals and nursing homes and dressed like a clown. And so she comes in there and she peeks around the corner and sees everybody sitting there, sort of half gone. And she says, "Oh, nobody here." And then she backs out. And of course, everyone says, "What do you mean, nobody here? We're here. What do you mean, nobody here?" "Oh, nobody here." And then she backs out again. And then one person said, "We're here. What's that city stuff?" And so she said, "Oh, I thought nobody was here. You're all sleeping. You're all gone someplace." And so they said, "We're here. This is how we are all the time." "Well, that seems very boring." And then she goes and does some clown things with the people and gets them all, get their adrenaline going, gets them fired up. And pretty soon, by the time she leaves, she gives them shots and stuff like that as a nurse. But by the time she leaves, they're all saying, "Oh, this is so wonderful. You know, when are you coming back? You know, when are you coming back? When are you coming back?" Because she brings them a new life into their world. And all by being silly. Her biggest challenge, Irene's biggest challenge in her school, she goes to school to learn to be a clown, is learning how to fall. She says, "It hurts when I fall." She says, "But you have to learn how to fall and make it look like you're really falling, hurting yourself, and not hurt yourself. You sort of fall with a roll so you don't land on your bones, you know." But, you see, she treated those people like they were silly, like they were fun, like they were interested in living. And they said, "Hey, what do you mean? We're here." You know, it's wonderful. You can do that too. You can treat the world as though it's interested in living and wants to go on. Anytime anybody comes up to you, and they don't come up to you, but anytime anybody comes up to you to beg, you say, "Hey, do you know you're a very handsome person, you're a very beautiful person? If you were to put on some fresh clothes and go look for a job, you could get any job because you have charisma, you have a magic about you." "Ooh, well, ooh. That's the best gift anyone could ever receive, wouldn't you say? It's really fantastic." Okay, so that's the way it is. Did we answer these for you, sir? Did we answer the questions for you?
"Yes, I've heard the answer."
And he said,
"I have heard the answer."
"Are you happy with the answers?"
He said he has heard your answers.
He have.
Heard
we have done it and more.
Are you happy with the answers?
Yes.
Good. Okay. He's happy with it.
Yes.
All right. Because I don't like to not answer your questions. If we can answer them, some questions we might not be able to answer. But anything we can answer, we'll answer. And that's wonderful. Okay, what else would you like to say? If not, for the day and for this seminar, it's been an honor and a joy to be with you and to share with you and to talk with you. And the next time, I will have to come here first before I get so busy with all the others and bring you my perfect seminar sharing voice, which is very like liquid honey, you know, purrs out beautiful words and beautiful ideas, like a loving husband, like a loving father, yeah, right? Thank you very much. I love you.
I love you.